Welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that God will meet you in this time with a fresh revelation of His love for you and that you will be challenged to align with the amazing plans that God has waiting for you. Here's this week's message from Pastor Claude.
I'd like to continue with this thought this morning that we are all on a mission and that we were all made with purpose. And we're all significant in God's eyes because He loves us, but also based on the fact that God wants to work through our lives. Like when it says in John chapter 20, verse 21, when Jesus said, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. That is our mission statement. It's to realize that God is sending me and He's sending you. And the younger you get this, the younger you get that you were made with purpose and significance, the better it is. Because sometimes when you get older, you get attached to this and you get attached to that. And then it's a little harder to let go. But we can all let go and follow Jesus. And we can all leave our nets and following Jesus, meaning that we make Him the priority in our lives. And my prayer this morning is as I talk on this call that we have to respond to when it comes to the mission, that our heart would be touched. And that there would be a desire for us to go forward. Like we've talked about that, we gave this image that we're not a cruise ship, but we're called to be a rescue boat or rescue ship, right? So we're not a cruise ship. The church is not a cruise ship where it's all about us, it's all about our comfort. Even though there's a lot of promises in God, and we can see that we are loved by Him, and we can see that we have a future because of Him, and we can experience Him. So, but we know that church is not a cruise ship. It's not also a personal yacht. Where a private yacht where you and your family are safe and that's how you live your life, where you live on an island or you live on your private yacht. I believe that's not God, that's not what God has intended. God has intended us to be a rescue boat, that God has placed a mission upon us. Also, I don't think God has called us to be a cargo boat. Where we accumulate, and all about life is things. I believe that God wants us to focus on people. Like I've said before, the only thing that we bring in the afterlife is people. And so we have this mandate upon our lives to be ambassadors for Him. And we understand that the heart of the Father, the motive of reaching out and the motive of responding to the call of the Father, it's because of the love of God, right? That God so loved the world that He gave His Son. So the heart and the motive that you find in God is all about reconciliation. God is a God that wants to reconcile us to Himself, right? And this is why He gave Jesus. And we understand that Jesus is our message. The good news is Jesus, amen? That Jesus came, laid down His life, and took on Himself our sins, and became the replacement for judgment. Instead of us being judged, we find our justification in Him. And when the Father looks at me, He doesn't see me, but He sees His Son in my life. Can someone say amen? Yeah, it's worth a little dance for that point, right? And so we understand the motive of the Father, it's love. We understand that Jesus is the solution, and we want to carry this, right? We want to carry the motive of the Father that we love. We're called to love. And we're called to rescue. And that's what happened last week when it came to Love the Valley, where many of you came together and you loved on the community. And that's what we're called to do. And Jesus is our message. But at the same time, as we know Jesus is the message, and we want to be propelled or we want to be pushed forward with the love of God, we need to realize that we can't do it without the reality of the Holy Spirit. When it comes to the commission that we have upon our lives, when it comes to the calling that we have to be a great father or mother, or when it comes to making a difference in our businesses and having an impact in our community, I believe that when we surrender or we understand when we understand the reality of the Holy Spirit, when we surrender to the Holy Spirit, it changes everything. So what I'd like to talk about today is that we need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in our life. Jesus knew that we needed assistance. When He said to His disciples, As the Father called me, sent me, I'm sending you. He understood that we were not able to do that on our own. He understood that we needed assistance. And that's where he gave the promise of the Holy Spirit. And so we need to be empowered by him. And I believe that we can all, and that's what we're going to touch this morning. And how do you see the reality of the Holy Spirit or the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in your life? And this is where it's very simple, and it's for all. It's to respond to the invitation that Jesus gave. Jesus told his disciples, go and wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. And go and place yourself before God. And when it comes to wait, it's not a passive wait. It's a wait with anticipation. It's a wait that says, okay, God, this is what you said. I'm expecting it, and I need it to move forward. So what happened is there's 120 that went to the upper room, and they were waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit so that they would be able to be witnesses, so that they would be able to respond to the call, knowing that they were not able to do it on their own. And what happened is that God moved and responded to their humility. You need to understand, when the disciples went into the upper room, they were aware of what was going to happen. They knew they had a calling upon their lives. They knew that they would receive power, and then they were going to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the end of the earth. So they got that. So when they went into the upper room, it was, God, you've called us, and we're waiting for your promise. So that's what I really want to, my first thought I want to share to you this morning. Whatever age you're at, whoever you are, if you said yes to Jesus and you received the gift of Jesus, you're a candidate to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, but you got to come to him the same way the disciples did. Does that make sense? They came to him saying, we want to make a difference. We want to be sent. We want to respond to God's call. We want to see God work in our lives. We want to live with purpose and significance. So I'm here, God. I'm waiting for you to empower me. I'm waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit to fill me, quicken me, and send me. And when our hearts are as simple as that, when all of us individually and corporately sees our need of God, and says, God, I want to make a difference, but I can't do it on my own. But the big challenge is, do we want to make a difference? Do we want to live in a cruise boat? Do we want our private yacht? Do we want to have our cargo boat? And that's the decision we have to make. All of us individually, corporately, we got to make a decision of how do I want to live my life? And so this is the heart of the matter. God doesn't push no one. God doesn't force no one. He invites. And this morning, you can respond to the call. Say, God, hey, here I am. I said yes to your son, but I'm also saying yes to the call. But God, I'm a little nervous. I'm a little afraid. I don't know how to do it. So may you empower me. May you fill me up. May you renew me. May you take over. And that's the promise that we find in view of the Holy Spirit. Pretty good, eh? I think it's so amazing. And we want to see that in our lives. If you have your Bible, take a look at Acts chapter 2, verse 1. It's a snapshot of what happened on Pentecost. The context is Jesus is ascended. Now they were waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit. And for 10 days they were in the upper room. And this is where the Holy Spirit showed up to empower them. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Beautiful picture, right? Can you picture that? They're there waiting. There's a rushing wind that comes in. Tongues of fire, they're set upon their heads. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came upon each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. And utterly amazed, they asked, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? And then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? And then, sorry if I massacre some of the names here. there were Parthians, Medes, Elamites, resident of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, I probably got Egypt right, and the port of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans, Arabs, massacred that one. We heard them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said they have had too much wine. And then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd, "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain to you. Listen carefully to what I say." And he goes on and he gives his sermon, a beautiful sermon, and a lot of people responded to the gospel. So when we look at Acts chapter 2, we see the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the outpouring of power, and the fulfillment of Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where it says, "You will receive power and you will be my witnesses." And so the question I have this morning, why do we need the Holy Spirit when it comes to the mission? Like, why do we need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit? What does Pentecost tell us? Well, what it tells us is the Holy Spirit empowers. Can you say that to your neighbor? The Holy Spirit empowers. So you will receive power, and the word power in the Greek is dunamis. That means the supernatural ability and divine enablement given by the Holy Spirit to fulfill the mission of making disciples. When we look at Pentecost, the church was not born out of a brilliant marketing plan, polished personalities, or clever leadership strategies. There was no gimmicks. There was no tactics. It wasn't engineered. They just received it. Like, Pentecost, listen to this. Pentecost, the upper room, was the gateway to opening the gate for all of us to be empowered for mission. So when Pentecost happened, the gate was open for us to receive the empowerment to fulfill our mission. What you find in Acts chapter 2, verse 16, the continuing of the text I just read, we see that Peter refers to the promise that was prophesied through Joel. It says, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. "In the last days, God says, I will pour my spirit upon all my people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and the old man will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both man and woman, I will pour my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy." And what a text, right? And that was prophesied by Joel, and Peter is before the congregation that is before him, and he says, this is the fulfillment of it. And when it comes to the prophetic words that Joel is talking about, is that we will speak out the words of God. We will speak out the oracles of God as the good news, and as to exhort, comfort, and encourage. If you look at Cornelius a little later on, we see that Cornelius, that was a Gentile, a fearing God, was also the gateway for the Gentiles. After Cornelius said yes, the door swung open for the Gentiles. So when you look at Acts chapter 2, it talks about empowerment. If you go back to John chapter 20, verse 21, and I'm going to read this again. And Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." And with this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So when we look at John chapter 20, verse 22, when he did breathe on his disciples and they received the Holy Spirit, it really talks about regeneration. It really talks about regeneration. And when you look at chapter 2, it talks about empowerment. So the thing is, when it comes to regeneration, is this where the cross comes in play. When you admit that you're a sinner, you turn to God, you accept Jesus in your life, and you become the habitation of the Holy Spirit. This is where you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and that makes you a child of God, okay? So we got to have that as a base. How do you become a Christian? Is by turning to Christ, and admitting that you are a sinner and the message of salvation, that you need redemption. And when you do this, what happens is the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in you. And when Jesus blew over his disciples, this is what happened. It's an image of regeneration. But what you see in Acts chapter 2 is the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. You see, we're called to be regenerated by the Holy Spirit, but we're also called to have post-conversion experience where God encounters us. And I don't want to see Pentecost as being a monument, as one specific event that is treated like the baptism, like water baptism, but it's not a monument as much as a way of life. Where when the door was open for the people to be encountered by the Holy Spirit, it was the open gate for us to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so we want to see that. So when we're born again by the Spirit, like in John 3, where Nicodemus is talking to Jesus, and he says, Jesus said you got to be born again. So he's talking about regeneration, where you become a new person in Jesus, and you become the habitation of the Holy Spirit. But there's also the need for us to be clothed with power so that we can fulfill our mission. If you look at Acts chapter 8, verse 14, a little snapshot of this, of the difference, I'll say that's a little easier for me, for a French guy, the difference between the two. In Acts chapter 8, verse 14, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria had accepted God's message, they sent Peter and John there. As soon as they arrived, they prayed for these new believers to receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, for they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid hands upon them, upon these believers, and they received the Holy Spirit. We understand that you cannot accept Jesus, or you cannot become a child of God if it's not done by the Holy Spirit. Scripture is very clear. So they had the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, but they had not experienced the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And Pentecost, what it does, it opens the gate for us to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. This text shows that there's a need for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and it's the aftermath of being saved. It's like when you give your life to Jesus, you say, "Jesus, come into my life," and you become a believer. I don't have every day. I'm not called every day to accept Jesus to come back in my life. When he's my life, I'm his, I'm his child, I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit, I'm secure in him, as I stay connected with him, I'm secure with him. But when it comes to the filling of the Holy Spirit, it's a little different. You can't only be filled once, and then you're good for life. I like what D.L. Moody once said, "I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit daily because I leak." And this is why you have Acts chapter 4. Where Peter and John are brought before the religious leaders because of the guy that was healed at the door called Beautiful. You remember the story where they said, "Silver and gold we don't have, but we give it to you in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." Well, it created a frenzy in Jerusalem to see this guy being healed. And so people were responding to the gospel and all that, and the Sanhedrin, or the religious leaders at that time, didn't like it. So they got Peter and John to come, and they wanted them to stay quiet, where they wanted them not to talk about Jesus. And Peter, before the upper room, or before Pentecost, he's the one that denied Jesus. But after Pentecost, he's able to say to them, "Hey, no way, we will obey God. We won't listen to, we won't hold back on Jesus, because we believe he's the Messiah." So what they did in chapter 4 is that they came back together and they prayed, "God, give us boldness and assurance for us to preach your gospel." And they were refilled with the Holy Spirit. Wow. They had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. God came in. Supernatural work. Did you know that the start of the church was a supernatural event? It was supernatural. So as a church, according to this word, we believe in a supernatural God. And so when it comes to the empowerment, I believe this is what God wants to do in our lives. He wants to empower us. You think about Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18, where it says, "Do not be drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit." And so there's a possibility of having Christians, I said that in the past, that are walking in the flesh. You can walk a Christian life, really you can't really fulfill God's mandate, but you can be a Christian that is empty. So that's why we got to understand what happened in chapter 2 in the book of Acts, where the floodgate is open. The gate is open for us to be encountered by him and to receive his anointing and his power. We start our day in the morning and we say, God, I can't do it on my own. I can't raise my kids on my own. I can't be a pastor. I pray this every morning. Even this morning, I'm going to preach, God, I can't do this. I need you. I can't do this on my own. And so what you do is you go before God and you ask him to fill you. You ask him to empower you. You want his wisdom. You want his gifts like we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Because you know that if you want to live a dent in this world, you need him, right? You need his influence in your life. So you ask him to fill you. And you then what happens is that you go a little deeper and you pursue that. And you seek to be filled. You seek to see this empowerment upon your life because you're so caught up with the mission. You want so badly to make a difference in the kids, in the teenagers, that your coworkers, people around you. It becomes kind of an obsession where you're like what Paul says, the love of Christ compels me. Like it burns in my heart. I'm concerned. There's this birth, this thing that God is birthing in my heart. And I said, God, I want to fulfill it, but I can't do it. I need your empowerment. I need your Holy Spirit. Think about the disciples that were in the upper room, what we know of them. They were simple people like us. Right? There were simple people like me and you. And they waited with anticipation, not waiting like biting their nails. We're waiting for the promise, God. We needed to go forward. And God met them and empowered them. So yes, we want to walk. If you don't know Jesus, we want to experience salvation. Yes, we want to be the residents of God. But we also want to see the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Some of us, we just heard about regeneration, but we've never heard the empowerment. And the empowerment is when we go to our upper room and we say, God, I need you. You pursue that, I'm going to tell you, if you do this, if you pursue and you want to be filled and you want to be empowered, at one point God's going to meet you. It might be an event, but doesn't matter if there's an event or not. I believe that he's going to fill you and renew you, and you will see a difference in how you do life, and people around you will see the difference. Because it's really, when you think about the fruit of the Spirit, it's the fruit of the Spirit in me. You think about the gift of the Spirit, it's the gift of the Spirit that God is operating through me. So it's not me, it's him. And so it's important for us to realize that there's a need for empowerment. We need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. It's the same thought when you look at Romans chapter 12 where it says, be renewed in your mind. Be transformed in your mind. It's kind of part of holiness where God does this change little by little, transforming you. It's the same thing with the Holy Spirit, is that we ask him to fill us and empower us for mission. So why do we need the Holy Spirit in our mission? Like I said, we need boldness and we need courage. We need this in our lives. And why do we need the Holy Spirit? It's because it's him that brings conviction. Look what it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 36. What an awesome text. It says, Therefore let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and to the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for you, for all who are far away, far off, for all whom the Lord our God has called. What a verse, verse 37. It says, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. I want to encourage you by this. When you do the work of the ministry, when you share your faith, when you do an act of kindness like it happened last weekend with Love the Valley, sometimes we think it stops at us, eh? But God cuts to the heart. Sometimes we think that we're not eloquent enough or not good enough, but when you obey and you want to see God flow through you, it's amazing how God works in the back scene. You look at the people that you're working with, you look at your context that you where God has planted you, and when you are led by the Spirit and you start your day by wanting to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I believe that when you open your mouth, it goes way further than what you say. It cuts to the heart. For me, when I speak to you guys, I'm saying, God, I'm not eloquent, so I need you to cut to people's heart. Because otherwise I'm losing my time. Because it's not going to be by eloquence that there's going to be a change in you. It will only happen by the reality of the Holy Spirit, right? And so what I'm really encouraged by this is that when I am doing what I'm called to do, God is working in the back scene and he's cutting at hearts, moving, revealing himself beyond us. Pretty cool, right? And we want to live like this. I like what Daryl Johnson, a quote from Daryl Johnson, he says, evangelism is joining the conversation that the Holy Spirit is already having with individuals. It's like when you speak to someone or you do an act of kindness, God is already speaking to them by someone else, through another context. You're just adding to that conversation. I think it's an amazing picture. So as a people, as we do ministry, there's a conviction of the Holy Spirit. It cuts to our hearts. Amen? Also, the Holy Spirit works supernatural beyond our abilities. Can you say that to your neighbor? Beyond our abilities. And God wanted to make it very clear from the get-go at Pentecost. Wanted to make it very clear that it was not going to be based on how eloquent the disciples were. In Acts chapter 2, verse 11, it says, each one heard them declaring the wonders of God in their own language or own tongue. Picture this. You got 120 people waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit. Rushing wind comes in. Fire of tongues on their head. There's noise that happens. Something happens and people are drawn to it. And they're checking things out. And then they hear, listen to this. They hear Galileans talking their language, glorifying God. Do you think the disciples had that in mind? I think it's funny. Do you think that the disciples, when they went to the upper room, had this in mind? Not at all. Like, what a way, right? What a funny way to get the attention of all the nations that are represented there by giving the apostle the ability to speak in their language. Probably the disciples didn't even know what they were saying. They were speaking different language. And then people are saying, they're glorifying God. You see, it's not us. The disciples were just vessels. What they did, though, is they went to the upper room and they laid their lives there and they surrendered their life there to say, God, I'm yours. I'm yours. And that's what I believe God is asking of us. I look in this series we're on, the Church on a Mission. It starts with us saying, God, I'm yours. I'm yours. The younger you can do that, I'm yours, Lord. I'm yours. God's going to move you. I don't know how it's going to look, but it's going to be amazing. Because when you say, I'm yours, God, God does beyond what we can imagine and dream. Like, what a story, right? Imagine if later on when the disciples came together and they thought about the past, I could see them saying, was that unreal? Like, we were filled with the Holy Spirit and we started to speak in tongues, the language of the people, and then we grew this crowd and we preached and this revival broke out. And one thing they knew, it wasn't them. Would you agree? It wasn't them. So what does it do for us? It qualifies us.
qualifies me. Wow. It qualifies me. It qualifies you, right? God wants to move in us. And this brings me to my last point, is the outpouring of the Spirit was for all his people. Can you say all? Does all include you? It does. Joel chapter 2, verse 28, let it ring to your heart. Maybe you've been going to church a long time. Maybe you are mature. Maybe you're strong in your faith. Let it penetrate our hearts. Joel chapter 2, verse 28, and afterward, I will pour out my Spirit on all people, on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, not pizza dreams, but giving a rhema, a word of God, like where God gives you a deposit to do something. Young men will see vision. God will show who he is and what he wants to do. Even on my servant, both man and woman, I will pour my Spirit in those days. It doesn't matter the gender. It doesn't matter the age or the status, on all, right? John 14, verse 12 says, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and greater works, because I'm going to the Father. It's greater in scope, not in power, because the resurrection, there's nothing bigger than that. But it's in scope, it's through us all, where Jesus is the head of the church and he's working through us. And we are part of his plan. It's not just for selected few. You know the problem is, we believe it's just for selected few, and we disqualify ourselves. You're sitting here and you say, not me. Why not you? Why not you? As you go in the upper room, as you seek to be filled. Remember I gave you this example of D.L. Moody, where it says, I leak. Well, he began how it all happened. He was a shoe salesman, grade 5 only. And he began teaching Sunday school classes for street kids. And God started to use him. Eventually, he became one of the greatest evangelists in the 19th century, preaching to millions in the U.S. and England. The estimate, they say that there's 1 million people that responded to the call of salvation through his ministry. 1 million. Through this guy that is a shoe salesman, grade 5. And what he says is, God is looking for someone to surrender. If you come to him with a surrendered heart, God can do beyond what we can imagine. And that's the heart of Pentecost, is you need him to do what you're called to do. When you don't see what you're called to do, then you don't really need him, because you can live your life and you coast for life. But if you want to go deeper in your journey, you want to go deeper in him, and you say, God, I want to make a difference, then you go to the upper room and you have your hands open and you say, God, I need your power. I need your influence. I need your filling. Come. Imagine if the church itself would position itself there. Wouldn't it be amazing? So can we this morning position ourselves before the Lord in this way? I would ask you to stand. If you want, you can stretch your hand in front of you as a symbol of surrender. Lord God, we stand before you, and as we think about Pentecost, we think about the Holy Spirit that empowered the church to fulfill its mission. So we come before you with open hands. And Father, we want to be filled with your Spirit. We want to be moved with compassion, with the Father's heart. We want to have Jesus as our mission, as our message. But we need your empowerment. We need to be filled by your Spirit. That your deeper would go even deeper in our lives, and that the previous deeper would be surpassed by a deeper work, a deeper reality of you, a deeper thirst for you, a deeper surrender. Father, I just pray that we would go deeper, that we would be before you this morning, and we would say, God, we want to be filled. Come and renew us. Come and revive us. Come and submerge us, wash over us by your Spirit so that we can make a difference. Open our eyes to the fields that are white, God, and cause us to have your heart, and cause us to have a passion and a desire to be under the influence of your Holy Spirit. Yes, Lord. Thank you for the promise that when you say in Acts chapter 1, you will receive power and you will be my witnesses. We say yes to the witness part this morning, Lord, and we receive the empowerment. As we go and we do life, I pray that we would set time aside to be filled and renewed by you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. If there's anything we can do to help you along in your journey, email prayer@gmchurch.ca. If you'd like to see what's coming up at Gospel Mission Church or learn more about us, visit gmchurch.ca.